So there's a lot at stake. I mean, 19 to 23 million people could lose their homes in the next few months in the middle of a pandemic. You already have a situation where there are concerns about the homeless population catching and spreading the disease. On top of that, you have mom-and-pop landlords around the country who are starting to really see their income eaten into. And so if they go under, that affects the revenue for local budgets. Another big concern, too, to be honest, is that if you have a situation where you have sheriff's deputies going around the country and going into low-income communities and kicking millions of people under the street, I mean, given the recent unrest, that's also a big concern because minorities are more likely to rent. So they're getting hit the hardest by this. So it's just this whole toxic brew of things that could happen if this is allowed to turn into a bigger crisis.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Katie O'Donnell on the looming eviction crisis.
The federal eviction ban that was included in the CARES Act, which applied to about a quarter of the nation's rental units, and that's just because those are federally financed buildings, that ban expired on July 25th.
Fox News alert: millions of American families could lose their homes when the federal eviction moratorium expires tonight at midnight.
Congress did not renew it. Democrats had passed extensions of it, but they haven't been taken up in the Senate. So in the negotiations of the past 2 weeks, the White House and members of Congress were trying to find a way to extend that ban.
Congress and the White House remain at a standstill over the next round of pandemic relief as millions of Americans lose their weekly unemployment benefits.
There are a bunch of different theories on why talks broke down, but basically the White House said, "All right, if you guys can't get to a deal,
I'll do it myself if I have to. I have a lot of powers with respect to executive orders.
We're going to do it ourselves." And then this executive order that the president put out on Saturday, it doesn't quite do what he says it will do.
"I'm signing an executive order directing the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HHS and CDC, to make sure renters and homeowners can stay in their homes. So I'm protecting people from eviction."
There's nothing in it that itself prevents evictions. It basically directs agencies to review the situation and figure out a way to kind of shuffle resources. But it doesn't put any new money in people's pockets, and it doesn't actually extend the ban. So it's a situation where people are kind of scratching their heads over what it will actually do.
So there's no new money, no new ban, and the protections that Congress had in place expired at the end of July, as did the expanded unemployment that could help people pay for rent if they can't. Have we seen an increase in evictions as a result of this?
So that's really hard to tell at this point. The federal ban did include, a 30-day heads-up notice. So any landlord of a federally financed building had to give 30 days notice to any tenant, which means that you wouldn't start seeing people like kicked out on the street until late August. The states that have allowed their bans to lapse have seen an uptick in evictions. You have a situation like, I think Milwaukee was up 17% after Wisconsin let their ban lapse. And you have, cities across the country are kind of getting ready for this. So Columbus, Ohio has sort of turned part of its convention center into an evictions court. The Denver mayor is saying that he's going to start setting up camps for a surge in homeless people. And I mean, obviously, too, part of the concern with this is that it could be a public health issue, right? To have a bunch of people suddenly living in homeless encampments or on the street. So it's something that kind of brings together like all of the different components of the crisis we're in. It's the economic crisis, but it's also the public health crisis. We have seen an uptick in eviction filings in places where the bans have lapsed, but there hasn't really been enough time to have kind of a surge in people getting kicked out on the street.
How many people are at risk once that time comes? How many people do you expect that we can see kicked out of their rentals?
So this is actually a really tough number to pin down. And the reason is that the kind of survey that everybody looks at in terms of who's paying rent is conducted by the National Multifamily Housing Council. But that survey only applies to professionally managed units, which is about 11.4 million units. So you have plenty of mom and pop landlords who aren't part of any organization, so they're not reporting their numbers nationally, who you might not even know about until they go out of business and put the residents up for sale or kick people out. And so the Eviction Lab, this group that started up during COVID as a way to kind of keep track of all of this because there are different policies in place in every state, their prediction is that between 19 million and 23 million people will be evicted in the next few months if there isn't an extension of both the unemployment insurance, which a lot of people have been using to pay their rent, and an eviction ban.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
Where and who are likely to be hit hardest by this?
So obviously, when people think of tenants, they think of, you know, New York, which is hugely dense, a ton of people rent. New York has some of its own protections in place, and so does California. But there are people who rent all across the country. There are people who rent single-family homes. So there are vulnerable tenants living in red states that don't have their own protections in place. And, you know, Texas is a pretty good example of that. Over 9.6 million people rent in Texas. A significant portion of them are unsure of their ability to pay their next month's rent, according to the census. So it's pretty broad, the effects of this.
A lot of the national conversation and the conversation we're having right now is focused on renters. But how does this situation affect property owners, the people who own these properties and who have to pay their bills with the money they're making off of rentals?
They're having a hard time. So a recent survey by the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals of the association's members found that 80% of the people who own or manage properties with fewer than 20 units have seen their rental income fall since March. And one in four said that they're not sure they'll be able to make ends meet. It's one of those things where people think of kind of professional management companies, building management companies, and they're getting hit too because they have to pay property taxes. They have to either pay the mortgage or the rent on the building that they're renting out. But there are also a lot of mom and pop landlords. And the longer this goes on, the more those people are being put in like a real squeeze.
What do experts say could fix this problem? Like, is a total moratorium on all evictions feasible? Has anything like that been tried before? Or could we like cap rents across the nation for now? What could actually be done by the government in this situation?
So you do have some really progressive people saying cancel rent. It's not clear how that would work. You do have Democrats saying you should expand the eviction moratorium to cover all tenants. And that's also, it's not clear legally how that would work. So in terms of kind of a national approach, this is why a lot of people are saying that the best approach is to do rental assistance payments, because then you can have people pay their rent. You don't have to worry about a bunch of landlords going under. If landlords go under and can't pay their property taxes, that's going to crater local budgets in addition to kind of jamming up the housing system. So most experts say that the best way to deal with this is to kind of have Congress give people rental assistance.
Katie O'Donnell, thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Also today, Joe Biden and his newly announced vice presidential running mate, Kamala Harris, are set to appear together as a ticket for the first time later today in Biden's home state of Delaware. The California senator and former Democratic presidential contender marks a historic choice for VP. If she's elected, Harris would be the first woman, Black, and Asian American vice president. The decision is one of the biggest of the election cycle and comes as Biden holds a significant lead over President Trump nationally ahead of November. According to a recent survey from Monmouth University released Tuesday, Biden leads Trump 51-41% among registered voters nationwide. And the number of known coronavirus infections worldwide is now higher than 20 million, a figure that shows just how rapidly cases are rising. It took 6 months for the number of confirmed cases globally to hit 10 million, but less than 7 weeks for that to double. According to Johns Hopkins University, more than half of the cases have been found in just three countries. the U.S., which has the most of anywhere in the world, and India and Brazil. The U.S. also has the largest death toll of any nation, with upwards of 164,000 deaths attributed to the virus since the pandemic began. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And to stay up on all of our latest coverage of the coronavirus pandemic, sign up for the Politico Nightly Newsletter. You can do that at politico.com/newsletters. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.